Kenny, the Sports Guy Podcast.
Hello, welcome back to Kenny, the Sports Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Kenny Severo, and today I have a very special guest. Joining the show today is Billy Pickenly. I hope I say it right. The owner of Bad Boy Productions. Before taking part in the world of content creation, Billy was the former bad boy of the New Jersey Jackals, and at the age of 15, he started interview players in the dugout. In 2018 and 2019, he assisted the field manager in assembling a league championship-winning squad, as he was named the director of digital content. Pickenly has always had a passion of growing the game of baseball and finding ways to assist the younger generation. In 2023, he published his book, Passions Prevail, to help youth players navigate their careers as they face adversity. Please welcome to the show, Billy Pickenly. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate you having me.
Now, before we get started, I hope I didn't really butcher your last name.
Billy Pickenly. Close
all
enough.
Right, dang it. All right. So then the first question I have for you is, how did your career get started?
Yeah, it really all begins with just being curious about something and loving something. So for me, it was baseball, just loving the game, playing it growing up. And lucky for me, I had a minor league independent baseball team only 10 minutes away from where I lived. So it was an absolute no-brainer to try to get involved with that team somehow. And as a young kid, going to games, trying to be involved with it, I just noticed that there were young bat boys on the field. There were kids getting the bats involved with the players. So why can't I be one of them? Why can't I get to learn more about how to do that and hang out with the players and be in the dugout? So my dad and I, we contacted the front office. We wrote a letter to the organization. And next thing you know, they were looking for another bat boy for the following year. And they penciled me in as a bat boy. So we're able to make that happen. And that's really where it all began. And it didn't happen overnight. You know, nothing, no part of success is instantaneous. You know, things happen slowly and they take time to develop. And that was the first step of getting to this point where I am now. So just becoming a bat boy was incredible. It was probably the best experience I've had in baseball. It was just being around the game at a level where you're able to have that kind of access, talk to the players, be a part of a pro organization. It was incredible. And the players treated me so well. I was a young kid. They were like my older brothers. And it was really fun to be a part of. And that's really how it originally started.
What was the day in the life of being a bat boy in a minor league team?
Yeah, so I'd get there. I'd say I always got there very early. I wanted to be the first one there. I wanted to be there before anyone else just to be in the stadium without anyone in it. There's something special to that. There's a unique vibe where there's no one there at the ballpark. It's just a sunny day, not much happening, not even music. It's just all you hear is maybe the wind or the birds or whatever it is. So I like being there early. I got there usually around maybe 2 o'clock, 2:30 for a 7 o'clock game. And I just want to be there ahead of everyone else. And then once guys start trickling in, I'd say what's up to the players. And then I want to be out there on the field. I want to shag balls in the outfield and and practice with them a little bit. So I was going out there and practicing a little bit with them too, because I was playing at that time myself. I want to get better and learn. So I decided to practice a little bit with them. And then once batting practice was over, it was really time for me to get to work and get the balls to the umpires and make sure they have the baseballs to rub up with the mud before the game. Get anyone drinks if they need Gatorade or water. Bring them out to the dugouts. Just make sure that everything's accounted for and the players all have their needs met before the game. And then it was almost game time. So, you know, a few things had to get done. The clubhouse manager would inform me if there were any tasks that I needed to accomplish. And then it was time for the game to start, the national anthem, and then the lineups and all that stuff. And then it was game time. So that was always the fun part, the anticipation, getting closer, building up for game time, and then having the first pitch get thrown. It was time to get going, you know?
What was your favorite part of being a bat boy?
I would definitely say the relationships. Man, I still talk to guys who I worked with over a decade ago. I was an 11-year-old kid working with guys who were in their late 20s, early 30s. So there was a pretty big age gap, but they made me feel so good. You know, they treated me well. I appreciated that, and they taught me a lot. So I still text guys once in a while for the holidays, or if something in their life happened that was special, I shoot them a message. And that means a lot, just to know that, hey, you know, I appreciated how you made me feel part of the team way back then. And I still want to, you know, support you, or, and they support me in whatever we're doing in our lives. So that's pretty special. Definitely those relationships are key, because you remember how they made you feel. You know, mm-hmm. That's the main
exactly.
thing. Whether they were a great player or an average player, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, how someone made you feel, that's the main thing.
So basically, you were like the little brother towards everybody there, running around, chasing baseballs around the field, which is awesome.
It was great. And a lot of times you see little bat boys running around, and it reminds me of my experiences as a young kid.
Definitely. So after your days as a bat boy, you were gradually moving on to interviewing players in front of the dugouts or in the dugout. So how did that transition from becoming a bat boy to basically becoming an interviewer happen?
Well, I realized that I couldn't be a bat boy my whole life. I wouldn't be doing that as a career. So I had to find a way to stay involved with the game, and I loved it. So I knew that there was a way to somehow create a career path in the sport that I loved. So I decided that, man, I have the access. Why not just start asking questions and interviewing players? Maybe that'll lead to something. So it kind of started as a hobby a little bit. Before batting practice or after batting practice, I'd bring a few players to the side and do a few interviews. But then throughout the next few years, it just evolved and I got better, and I tried to learn how to edit and create videos. And that was really the process. I was building up the skill set necessary in order to do it professionally. And then I fell in love with the whole content production concept. And it became something that I was able to then pursue as a career. But it all started with just being curious about how I can stay involved with the game. Because I knew that I couldn't, man, I was a young kid involved with the game of baseball. I could not have any other job outside of the game, because I wouldn't enjoy it. Like
other than becoming a baseball player.
Yeah, other than being a player. That was definitely the first thing. But when I was in the dugout, every year went by, and I wasn't getting any better, and those guys were throwing really hard, I was like, I'm not going to be a pro. So that's how that panned out.
So next question is, who was your first big interview with?
Wow, first big interview. Michael Strahan was pretty big, I'd say. I interviewed him. I was a young kid, and he treated me real well. I was at the Yogi Berra Museum, and there were a few security guards around, and they really didn't want me to talk to him, but he was like, here, come over here. Well, let's do it. So he gave me a couple minutes, and I appreciated that. So he was incredible. Nick Swisher was the man, and former Yankee World Series champion. He was incredible. So a couple of those guys were great. And then, just trying to continue to meet more players and interview more guys. It's been a great process. And I went over to Dubai and interviewed some guys over there, and a lot of big league all-stars and Hall of Famers were there as well. So Albert Pujols was another big name who I spoke to recently, and he was great as well.
I feel like I'm actually under the same boat, because last year I interviewed many athletes. So
yeah,
I interviewed Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman, Jack Curry of the Yes Network. That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's actually a really good person. I interviewed Olympian Leslie Maxey. She was the sweetest person on earth. Like, her interview was amazing to me. And I also interviewed Cody Walker, the brother of the late great Paul Walker, last year for his thing. And yeah, I mean, as both content creators, I feel like interviews are very important in terms of, developing your content and creating quality content while having other people on the show, the people like you, and, help the show flourish, and by word of mouth or just by social media. And I feel like interviews are actually, very, very good.
For sure. Yeah. It's a way to help tell stories too. That's the main idea when I first started. I just really wanted to share the stories of the players.
Exactly.
Get in their mind a bit and see what they're thinking, why they made certain decisions, or how they went about dealing with certain situations that they faced in their career. And then you're able to learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. So the next question I have is, who was your favorite player that you interviewed?
It's definitely Nick Swisher. And I spoke to him a while ago. back when I'd say 2016 or 17. And then I got to see him again in Dubai, and he remembered when I first spoke to him. So that was pretty cool. Like, he was a great guy. The energy that he brings is incredible. And he always has a smile on his face. So he treated me real well when I was a kid.
He's always smiling.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So it means a lot. Whenever anyone treats you well and they give you a few minutes of their time when they really don't have to, or when you're really not established yet, it means a lot. And it tells you a lot about who they are as a person.
Yeah, there are actually a lot of good people out there, good athletes, and Nick Swisher is actually one of them. I would actually love to interview him one day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, so enough with the career aspect of this interview. Let's move on to the MLB questions of it. So who is your favorite MLB team?
The New York Yankees.
Oh, nice.
I'm a huge Yankees fan as well. Right now.
Yeah, we got a decent team right now. I don't really like the starting pitching right now. It's a little bit iffy, but you got a good offense. I feel like Juan Soto is going to have a career year. I think he's going to hit over maybe 40 home runs, especially at Yankee Stadium with that short porch. So the majority of the home runs he's going to hit is going to be at home. Aaron Judge, if he stays healthy, he's going to have a big year. But honestly, I feel like they need more in the pitching front, especially during the starting pitching role, because it's just Gerry Cole and that's it.
Yeah. Well, the starting pitching is good if everyone's healthy.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
We can never rely on guys staying healthy throughout the whole season. So that's a problem. So there is some depth that they have in the minor leagues and some other guys in the pen, but you don't want to have to fall back on that. So it's really difficult to judge at this point in time. But obviously, in addition, like Blake Snell or some other pitcher who could start would be fantastic. Who knows if they'll actually do that or sign somebody, but you know, guys like Clark Schmidt, he's been looking pretty good this spring so far, so we'll see if he has a great year and builds on what he did last year, so we'll see.
And I feel like he'll be a good fifth starter as well for the team. He actually did pretty well at the end of last season, and let's see if it carries over to next season. So the next question I have is, who's your favorite player?
Wow. Obviously, Aaron Judge is the man in New York, right? But
yeah.
I also like Oswaldo Cabrera. He's been incredible. I've spoken to him several times, interviewed him, and he's a great person. So that obviously, when you're a good person and you care about people and you interact with them, it strikes a chord with me. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So he's been awesome, and he treats everyone with respect. So he's up there. I interviewed Trevino as well this offseason, the catcher, and he's been great as well, and he's a great player, all-star caliber guy. So I'd say some of those guys, but man, it's tough. It's so hard because when I'm starting to work in the game now, it's tough to have a favorite player because I'm interacting with so many and it's really difficult to shout guys out because then other players will be like, well, what about me? So it's tough to say.
Well, with me, man, it's actually kind of tough because I actually do work with the Yankees, like part-time with them. And you want to say Aaron Judge, but there are other players out there that's actually really, really good as well, like Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto. But if I had to choose, I would have to say maybe Fernando Tatis Jr. I just like the swagger that he has.
Yeah.
And even though like he faced those steroid issues like 2 years ago, I feel like he's a great player. And if he gets on track this season, he might win MVP for me. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. He's electric. He's an electric player. Fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of young kids like watching those kinds of guys right now who just play with a lot of energy. And that's what the Yankees needed, man. And they got it.
Yeah.
They brought some guys with energy in here. So it's going to be fun to watch all those guys play.
I feel like he makes baseball fun too.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
He definitely does. So the next question I have is, what are your thoughts on the MLB offseason?
Well, I think the free agent market has been a little slow. The free agent process, you have some pitchers who are still free agents, and I hate seeing guys who are healthy and haven't signed yet this deep into spring training already. Mm-hmm. Man, they're playing games. Starting pitchers are around four innings built up. So you got to get guys in games and really built up, ready to go. So I'm assuming that if any other starting pitchers sign who would go right in the rotation, they'd have to start the year not going what they'd go in a normal beginning of a season because of they haven't been able to build up. So who knows if that's like, it's almost like an IL stint where they have to get some games in AAA or find a way to get other work in to be ready to go. But there are guys out there who are solid. You look at Jordan Montgomery, and you saw Bellinger just signed as a position player. Yeah. And there are other guys who need to sign as well. So we'll see what happens. You know, Blake Snell, I mentioned before, could be a fit with the Yankees or other teams, but I think those guys will sign soon and we'll see what happens. But obviously with the Dodgers and what they did this offseason, it was pretty wild.
Oh yeah. The Los Angeles Avengers out there.
it's going to be interesting to see, man, because it's hard. You can't buy a championship. You could try to put pieces together and try to put all-star players in one lineup, but it hasn't really worked. Look at the Mets last year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a World Series. So a lot of it has to do with organic growth and chemistry. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, they had a big offseason with the addition of Ohtani, Glasnow, re-signing Kershaw, getting Teoscar Hernandez, and they got Yamamoto as well. But I don't think it's going to translate into a World Series championship. I mean, look at the 1990s with the Yankees and the early 2000s as well. They tried to buy their players, and even though they succeeded in the mid-2000s, I feel like they did the exact same thing, but it didn't work out well. So I'm assuming that the Dodgers are going to win the division, obviously. But one team I will watch out for is the Arizona Diamondbacks, because the Diamondbacks made it to the World Series literally out of nowhere. And I think right now they're the team to beat in the NL West.
I was excited to see what they did last year. I love seeing those teams come out of nowhere and just prove people wrong and just have young rookies who just shove in the playoffs unexpectedly. It's a lot of fun to watch that. So I definitely think that they have what it takes to go far again. And obviously it brings some confidence levels up when you're able to have success like that when no one else really expected it.
Mm-hmm. So the next question I have is, what are your predictions for the upcoming season? Who do you think wins the World Series?
Man, it's tough to say because baseball is really a sport that you can't predict too well.
Yeah.
Exactly. A couple injuries and all of a sudden the team's out of the race. So, and then teams who you might not have thought could do much all of a sudden are very productive. Mm-hmm. I think the Orioles are up there.
Yep.
The Yankees might be up there if they stay healthy. And then obviously the Dodgers, you can't leave them out, right? With what they did this offseason.
Yeah, you can't count them out.
So the Dodgers, and then you mentioned the Diamondbacks too. So I'd say all those teams are up there for sure.
Yeah, so for me, I think the American East is going to go to the Orioles. I think they're going to win over 100 games with that young core. The AL Central, the Twins are clearly the best team there. I don't know what happened to the White Sox. I don't know what happened to the Guardians. And the AL West is going to go to the Houston Astros. I think the Astros avenged their ALCS loss to the Rangers last season. As for the National League, the NL East is obviously going to go to the Braves with that young core. I really like the Braves out over there. The NL Central is a little bit too close for comfort. I don't know if I should choose the Cubs or the Brewers, because the Brewers got a little bit weak this offseason. I mean, they let a lot of key guys go. And for the NL West, I got to go with the Dodgers because they're a super team out West. And nobody in the NL West could beat them for the ground. But for the two wild cards, I would have to say kind of a tough one. I would say the Mets, because a lot of people are just riding off the Mets this season like nothing happened. And I would have to go with the San Diego Padres as well. And yeah, those are my my choices for the predictions for this season.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Yeah, you never know. Like the Mets, for example, the Mets need to stay healthy and then the guys have to produce. They need to be impressive. And they have a lot of players who were average in different locations, in different cities with different teams, especially on the pitching side.
Yeah, but if they
come here and do a decent job and let the offense take care of the rest,
mm-hmm.
it could be up there in the standings. It's really difficult to say, but I'm looking forward to it because I know that the Mets fan base is very, you know, they're not happy after what happened last season, after being disappointed with how that team played out. But obviously they're in this phase right now where they're trying to be competitive, but they're really waiting for those prospects to come up who they traded for.
Do you think they trade Pete Alonso next season?
they should really sign him. They should really extend him. I think they'll extend him, but I think the fans will riot if they don't. We'll see.
I mean, you got to also look at who's representing Pete Alonso. We got Scott Boras. Scott Boras, to be honest, he's responsible for like the boring offseason because the majority of the players he represents are the main free agents. So it's quite interesting that one man takes control over the entire offseason, and it doesn't benefit anybody other than himself. But I think Pete Alonso stays as a New York Met, but I think they're going to grossly overpay him.
Yeah, they're going to pay him a lot, but he's the face, right? Yeah. Just like the Yankees, they paid Judge a lot. Obviously, he produces, but you know, he's the face. Like, you're selling a lot of merchandise using his name, image, and likeness, and he's somebody who's a leader, and Pete's also a leader in the Mets clubhouse. So there's a lot more beyond just the home runs or the on-field performance, but you also have to make a smart business decision as well. If someone's not going to help you and put up the numbers necessary, you also have to really take that into consideration as well. So it's always a difficult situation to navigate, but the Mets, they really need to make this a smart decision, because if they don't bring him back and they really had an opportunity to, and it was affordable enough for them, it's not going to look good.
Yeah. So also, do you think Juan Soto leaves after free agency?
No, he'll be a Yankee. I think he'll be a Yankee. The Mets have to worry about Pete. The Yankees can worry about Soto. How about that?
Yeah. We'll see. A lot of Mets fans are clamoring for Soto to be in Queens next season. So let's see what happens. So the next question I have is, I know you have a book. You recently released a book. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, it's called Passion Prevails. And throughout the years, I've interviewed so many players. And the question I always asked them each time I interviewed someone was, what advice do you give to a younger player? What message do you have for someone dealing with adversity, those challenging situations? And they all gave great advice. So I decided to transcribe all that into written format and then put into a book. I had enough material to make it into a book. So I figured, you know, I went through some situations when I was younger that were difficult to navigate through as a ball player on the field in high school. So why not go ahead and try to help out the next generation of players? And it means a whole lot for me to be able to produce content both in this book and digital content with videos that can help inspire these young kids out there who are trying to play the game at the next level or find a reason to keep going. Because sometimes it's hard to be motivated at all times. You have to be disciplined in your work ethic and be dedicated to the process, even if it's not always the most fun thing in the world to do. And this is just a reminder for these kids to continue on that journey, because even their favorite players, star players in the league, it wasn't always a cakewalk for them. If they weren't always living luxuriously and everything came easy, that's not how it is. That's a fallacy, but it's a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication and passion. If you have it in you, nothing can stop you from achieving what you need to achieve.
Exactly. So people also got to remember that we always start off with nothing, and eventually over time, it will turn into something.
Yeah.
So where can people find your book?
It's on Amazon. So Passion Prevails on Amazon, only available there. And it's obviously it's been up for about, I'd say last June is when I published it. So it's been up there for a while. It's pretty wild. It's happened pretty quick. You know, everything, you know, the time moves pretty fast, and I feel like I just published it yesterday. So it's, it's pretty crazy.
Well, I definitely got to get a copy of your book.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think it'll help out a lot of people. That's the main goal, just to help inspire these kids.
So the last question I have is, to all the aspiring content creators out there, what is one piece of advice that you could give them?
Wow, that's so much advice that I've heard from people, that people have given me, but really just be a good person. The process is a long one, right? You don't want to just go ahead and think that everything's going to happen instantly for you. It takes a long time to get to a place where you think you should be, and you have to be dedicated to what you're doing. And obviously, you want to create some other things that you like to do outside of your craft, because originally interviewing people was a hobby of mine. But then once it became more of a career and work, you know, you want to find ways to separate that from other aspects of your personal life. So, you know, find other hobbies that you like to do and balance that a little bit. You're gonna have to work hard. There are gonna be times where you have to work a little bit harder and spend more time on your career than other times in your life. But just understand yourself, know yourself, and know what you need to do in order to level up your game and become the best you can be. So that's what really I'd say. And create your own version of cool. I love that phrase. Create your own version of cool. Don't follow in other people's, you know, I wouldn't say don't follow in other people's footsteps, but don't look at other people and think you need to fit in with them or think that, you know, that's, and they've had success doing that. I have to do exactly what they're doing. There's a unique way that you have built up something inside of you. You've built something unique and you have to go ahead and bring that out of you and be your genuine self. So that's what I'd say to the kids who are looking to pursue this one day.
Wow, that's really, really great advice. And might add to that, just be persistent as well. Don't take anything for failure. I mean, don't take anything, still take no for an answer. Success is going to come, failure is going to come. And my best advice is just to keep going and be persistent towards the things that you love to do and the things that you want to do.
Absolutely. That's obviously you're going to get a lot of no's. I got a lot of no's throughout my career. And it's been what, maybe 10 years since I really started in baseball.
Yeah.
Expect more of it. You know, it's how it goes, but only a few yeses sprinkled in here and there are
you what, only one yes.
Yeah. It presents you opportunities, just a couple yeses. And then all of a sudden you're making something happen.
So last question is, where can people find you on social media?
Billy the Bat Boy on all platforms, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, any platform I'm on, Billy the Bat Boy. And I appreciate you having me, man. It was a great time chatting with you.
Oh, definitely, man. Thank you so much for taking the time out. And I really do appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, that is the end of this episode. You can check out this episode on YouTube and on all streaming platforms. You can check me out on my social media pages on Twitter at Kenny_sports, Instagram at KennySportsGuy1, and TikTok at KennySportsPodcast. Until the next episode, please be well.
Kenny, the Sports Guy Podcast.